Yogi Ramaiya. B.V. Narasimha Swami was the first English biographer of Sri Ramana Maharishi. He asked many devotees and disciples to write about their lives and experiences with the master. Yogi Ramaiya submitted a 2000-word essay from which B.V.N. extracted a short edited account to print in his book titled Self-Realization. The following is B.V. Narasimha Swami's edited account published in Self-Realization, followed by the full autobiographical essay written by the yogi himself. All this text has been printed in Arunachala's Ramana, Boundless Ocean of Grace, Book 2, published by Sri Ramanashramam and available at the Ashram bookstall in Thiruvannamalai. Yogi Ramaiya belongs to the community of Reddiyars and was a wealthy land proprietor of Anareddipalayam near Buchi Reddipalayam, Nellore district. He received hardly any education. Being the sole owner of his properties, he had every inducement to pass his days merrily with his thoughtless companions, boys of his own age. But at about the age of 18, his thoughts took a serious turn and he gave up his former associates and took an interest in religion. A Brahmin guru imparted to him the Ramataraka mantram and asked him to repeat it 5,000 times daily. If the number is exceeded, what then? Asked the ardent youth. So much the better, was the guru's reply. If I repeat it always, was the next query. The guru was delighted at the keenness of the disciple's enthusiasm and expressed warm approval. Ramaiya went on with his japam from morning till night, whatever he might be doing. He also began to practice pranayamam, breath control. Consequently, vairagya, or disgust with his worldly surroundings, grew so strong in his breast that he suddenly left home to go north to perform tapas in holy places like Kasi, etc. On the way, he met his guru, who asked him if he had obtained his mother's permission for the pilgrimage. When he admitted that there was no intimation or permission, the guru sent him back to Anareddipalayam, telling him to go and do your tapas in the seclusion of your garden, and later on I shall come and see how you have progressed. Ramaiya returned home and went on with his tapas. He developed both breath control and meditation without anyone to help him. He was able to remain several hours in a blissful mood, beholding the tip of his nose, that is, breath being easily regulated and stilled. His mind was equally stilled and happy. Perfect continence, sattvic food, just barely enough to keep the body and mind working, and intense devotion through his japa to God, Rama, carried him soon to illumination in samadhi. He noted with surprise how God Rama, as an external being, vanished and gave place to the feeling of God in the self. Again, he noted that though at the outset he retained the distinction between himself, the subject, and the objects he perceived or thought of, the distinction was dissolved as soon as he was lost in samadhi, when he experienced no real difference between subject and object. Could the two be, after all, identical? Was the thought that occurred to him. As it was a novel and puzzling experience, he did not feel sure of his conclusions and asked local pundits about it. Their replies did not satisfy him. So he came to Thiruvannamalai in 1925 And in Maharishi's presence, asked Kavya Kanta Ganapati Sastri about it. The subject is, of course, different from the object, was the Sastri's reply. Ramaya was disappointed and looked up to the Maharishi, who at once supplemented or corrected the Sastri's reply. Subject and object are distinct in the phenomenal world to the ordinary man, but in Samadhi, they merge and become one. Ramaya was very glad to notice corroboration from this eminent Swami. Thenceforward, he took Maharishi as his sole guide. For many years, he still continued with his life of yoga with Maunam, silence and tapas as its support. He ate little, controlled his breath and stayed many hours at a stretch in blissful ecstasy, mostly in the cottage of his own garden. He would also stay for a few months each year with Maharishi at Ramanashramam. He loved and was loved by the Maharishi. As Yogi Ramaya did not know Tamil, the Maharishi translated his Tamil poems, Upadesa Saram and Ulladu Narpadu, into Telugu. In appreciation, Yogi Ramaya helped in repairing Pali Tirtham, in the construction of Ashramam Hall and the Ashramam Well. The original manuscript, wherein Yogi Ramaya tells in his own words about his life and experiences. From my boyhood, I had great devotion, bhakti, towards Sri Ramanamam. Till I was 19 years old, I was generally of a rajasic temperament and was fearless. I used to listen attentively whenever elders recited stories of God or taught Dharma, and I used to make friendship with such elders. Once I heard of the life of Kabir from an old gentleman, and at once I became sorrowful that I had wasted my life till then. How to get undistracted devotion, Ananya Bhakti? How can I become fit for God's mercy, Kripa? These were my desires. Though I was not a Bhakta from childhood like Kabir, I got Vairagyam and wanted to do penance, tapas like Valmiki, until the body is covered with ant hills. I then knew that penance meant meditating on Ramanamam continuously, like the constant flow of oil, and to be in Samadhi, forgetting this body. Thus, I acquired Bhakti and Vairagyam. Subsequently, love for the body, Dehabhimanam, disappeared. Formerly, I had many friends, but the feeling of friendship for them left me. I couldn't leave the continuous Dhyanam meditation even for a minute. I used to feel sorry that the nights were being wasted in sleep. I used to feel that I was meditating even in my sleep. I used to be in meditation when I awoke. I used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, bathe, and sitting in a secluded place would meditate till 8 o'clock. From 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., I would read Bhagavatam. After meals, I would listen to Bhagavatam read by a Brahmin. In the evenings, I would go outside the town and meditate, sitting alone. Even if such a place be the pathway used by men and cattle, I would neither know of or hear anything during meditation. I used to offer puja, imagining the form of Vishnu in my heart. When Brahmanatha Tirtha Swami was at Nellur, I went and prayed to him to give me Upadesa and teach me yoga so that I could meditate upon Rama and conquer the mind. He then gave me Rama Tarakam Mantram and asked me to meditate on it, observing Pranayama for a little while at the time. He said that to practice Pranayama vigorously solitary living and food restrictions are necessary. I was then meditating by focusing my attention towards the middle of the eyes. In a short time, Chitkalas, guiding spirits, began to appear in a variety of ways, but they disappeared after some time. Then, a flame, like the sun, began to appear. This would appear even when meditating with eyes closed, but there would be nothing when opening my eyes. I thought that Surya Bhagavan was appearing. Knowing that the vision was from inside, I began to practice vigorously. After some time, the vision assumed a clearer form like the moon. Later on, in the place of this moon, a jyoti began to appear. While in this condition, the drik, subject, and drisyam, object, would disappear, and I would feel that the Atma was Purnam, the perfect survivor. At that time, this condition would not last continuously, but would only recur from time to time. I then got extra vairagyam. It was at that time that I left my home. Without telling anybody, I wanted to go to Dandaka forest and do penance like Valmiki and the rishis. Before traveling north, I got down from the train to meet my guru at Bapatla in the Guntur district. As soon as he saw me, he asked whether I had left home after informing my people. I told him the truth, that is, that I did not inform anyone. He then told me, "You cannot stay there, Dandaka forest, and do penance. There are many difficulties there. Have an ashram in your village and do penance there. I will come and see you occasionally. Go back home to your village." Before leaving to return to my home, he gave me upadesam. When I first got vairagyam, I started a water pandal for distribution of water on Narasimha Jayanti days. It is still going on. I started my own ashramam and named it Rama Ashramam. It has been useful for meditation and also other purposes. Within 2 years of my spiritual life, there was a break in yoga. I felt very sorry for this break and with firm determination, giving up all things, I joined this Rama Ashramam in 1922. By constant meditation, sitting on an asana, I used to become fatigued. To get over this fatigue, I would immediately do pranayama. While doing this and learning from books such as Jnana Vasishtam, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that yoga should be practiced keeping the lakshyam at the tip of the nose, I began to do likewise. Practicing like this for some time and seeing nothing at the end of the nose, I began to feel discouraged. Summoning confidence, however, from my firm belief that what is written in the sastras can never be untrue, I gave up interest in food and sleep and assumed a meditative posture. I was always doing dhyana, dharana and pranayama. Gradually, I achieved breath retention. Now and then, I used to feel the sushumna, subtle force, rise up. Since then, a jyoti began to appear. For some months, there was no body sense and the self was all pervading. Ahankara disappeared. It was realized that it was not I that was meditating. The I was the witness of the ahankara, that I really am Atman and that this is my true form. The external vision decreased by constant concentration of the self. There was no desire to eat anything. In spite of bodily difficulties, the mind was always happy. I was thinking of Rama in Saguna aspect and offering puja to Hari in my heart. As the external vision decreased, I wanted to go to experienced gurus with Brahmanishtha and tell them about my experiences and to find out what their experiences were. By inquiry, I found out that there were many who had read books only without experiencing the self, and I could not find any with Brahmanishtha. In my boyhood, when I came on a pilgrimage to Arunagiri, I saw Bhagavan. Since then, at times, I used to think of him. Learning that Bhagavan knows Telugu, I went to him, offered my respects, sat in his presence and was looking at him. I found that he was introverted. His eyes were not moving. Breath appeared to have stopped. No movement was visible in him. Seeing that, I also turned my vision inside. As I had acquired Dharana Siddhi at the tip of the nose, I found it easy to turn my vision inside. When the vision is turned to the Drik subject inside, the Drishya objects are not seen. Self was all pervading and perfect, Purna. In this state, I was sitting for 2 hours. I came to the conclusion that when the mind was subdued and the objects are not seen, the subject and object are merged in the self, and that self is all pervading and perfect. Ganapati Sastri had come there and I questioned him about this. The Sastri replied that the subject and object are different. I couldn't agree with what he said. Bhagavan immediately said that when the mind is subdued, there is only one thing, and that the subject and object are not different. I felt very happy on hearing this and concluded with certainty that he was the guru and that he had realized the truth. I then told Bhagavan about my eyes and he replied that they would get right after some time and that there was no danger. As it was Kartika Deepam time and as there was a big crowd of people, Bhagavan said that if I went to see him in the night, it would become more convenient. I agreed and went away. When I went there in the night, the doors were closed and all inside were asleep, thinking it would not be proper to disturb them in their sleep. I lied down on the piyal outside. As it was the winter season, the cold was severe. Mosquitoes began to bite and I was unable to sleep. At about 3 in the morning, Bhagavan came outside and saw me. I prostrated. Bhagavan, who was all kindness, said that I had been put to much trouble and asked me to come inside and sleep by his side. That night, I asked him some questions. Question: what is Nirvikalpa Samadhi? Answer: that which has no sankalpam to Nirvikalpa. Question: in Samadhi, will there not be even the Brahma Bhava? Answer: if there is Bhava, it will not be Nirvikalpa. Question: what is meant by Rama? Answer: that in which everything takes its origin, exists and disappears is Rama. I then determined that all practices are only means to attain this final stage. I was giving up my former spiritual practices little by little. I felt immensely attracted to Bhagavan and felt quite at home in Ramanashramam. Bhagavan was all love. After meeting Bhagavan, I did not go to any other guru. I then read the life of Maharishi. By reading it, one acquires vairagyam and dispassion. Just to see him is upadesam. To sit in his presence gives peace. This is my firm belief. After some time, with Bhagavan's permission, I went back to my native place. I would come twice every year to see him. I heard blessed words from him regarding his experiences. The Swami himself would look after my food arrangements. Just as a father would nurture motherless children, he was always filled with limitless kindness. As I have no strength to walk any distance, I always stay in my cottage or with the Maharishi. And as speech may cause chitta chalanam, thought movement, I observed maunam, silence. Some time later, I came to see Bhagwan again and was in the ashramam for some days. One day, I told him about my experience of that time. I told him that at the time of meditation only, the whole thing would appear to be one. And then, at other times, the subject and object appear to be different. And I asked him how this difference would disappear. He told me that there was still dehavasana, that is, attachment to the body, and asked me to carry on with my meditation till it disappeared entirely. I then asked him to tell me how to concentrate. He then said, when a man dies, the funeral pyre is prepared with fuel and the dead body is laid on the pyre. The pyre is lit. First, the skin is burnt, then the flesh, and then the bones, until the whole body is converted into ashes. What remains thereafter? Only the spirit. But by self-inquiry, the spirit also disappears. When this dehavasana goes, ahamkara also vanishes and the self alone remains. He had composed Upadesa Saram in Tamil. I prayed that he might translate it into Telugu. He rendered it in Dvaipada couplets form in Telugu. I then stayed in the ashramam for some days, went abroad for some time, and then returned to my ashramam. I then gave up everything. When I returned to Thiruvannamalai, I would sometimes stay in the mango tree cave near Mulepal Tirtham. After Bhagavan had composed Ulladu Narpudu in Tamil, reality in 40 verses, I prayed to him to teach it to me in Telugu. He rendered it into Telugu prose and taught it to me. Reflecting on what he taught me, the mind was subdued and dissolved in the self. Now, nothing different from self is seen.